today on Real Radio.
Isn't it funny? When we grow up, we think it's that sex is filthy, dirty, nasty, ugly, and horrific, and Satan, I think, loves that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And Satan says, go do it, when you're 13, and then once you're married, he says, don't do it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage. It's a series that takes a break from the norm to discuss the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife Lisa, and myself, David Jay, we talk about the intimacy part of marriage. In today's society, it's a society that exalts promiscuity and mocks the institution of marriage, and sometimes it's hard to break away from our culture's idea of what coming together really means. So it's important to stay pure, stay creative, and stay willing to please our spouse. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hey, you know what we're talking about today? Intimacy. Can be a touchy subject, and I just want to throw this out there real quick. When I was younger, I didn't know what the word intimacy was. I thought it was sex, period, end of story. And now as I've been married for a little while, I realize that intimacy is so much more than that. Tell me what the difference is between then and now.
I think the then and now for you is the then and now for us as guys, first of all, because what you just said about sex, that's how a guy's programmed. That's what we think. It's that way. It's this way. And the intimacy part is what women, I think, naturally gravitate toward. It's what God wants us to gravitate toward. It's what's normal. It's what's loving. It's what's kind and gentle. But we as men are brought up because we're so, I think, one topic focused, which is, by the way, one of the reasons why we're good at war, right? We go to war and we stay focused on war.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to think like that about everything, including sex, and we leave the intimacy part out. And Lisa, of course, being a woman, she's got a whole different perspective, and that's the way God made us. So Lisa?
No, I totally agree. I would just call that maybe the romantic part of it.
Yeah.
That's the gentle, the kindness, the leading up to the sexual act. So
a friend of ours that is in the radio business says that women want men to be women, but in different bodies. And I think he was talking about the intimate part of that.
Sure.
Do you find that to be true?
Sure. I mean, for them to be more connecting, communicative, the gentle part, the I don't know what other adjectives there are that we haven't said, but just that whole overall leading up to, because it's not just that, you know, like you said, sex. It's just not that way for women. We're incredibly different. I remember years ago hearing a guy describe men as the microwave and women as the crock pot, you know,
that
we have to lead up to. The crock pot goes all day long, you know, and the microwave, the guy's, you know, in there done, and it's good. Everything's great, but women tend to want more. There's just more there.
Speaking of more, back in the church 20 years ago, the Song of Solomon was mm-hmm. something that, I mean, you didn't even, nobody touched on that. And now we're more, we tend to lean more towards, it's okay. It's okay to pay attention mm-hmm. to the Song of Solomon. Is there anything specific you'd point out from that book?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right. And the Jewish community established a rule that they've practiced for millennia, and that is that you could not read the Song of Solomon in the Jewish home until I think you were 30 years of age.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's so personal.
Yeah.
And so this is a great thing for us to consider, because here's the God of the universe, who's the author of the Bible, who includes the Song of Solomon for us to know. This is huge. Think about it. Because isn't it funny? When we grow up, we think it's that sex is filthy, dirty, nasty, ugly, and horrific, and Satan, I think, loves that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then you get married, and it's supposed to be wonderful, exciting, and it helps bond a marriage together, and it's all God-approved, and Satan says, go do it when you're 13, and then once you're married, he says, don't do it. I mean, think about the spiritual dynamic of all of that. And we've got a culture that exalts promiscuity, but mocks the institution of marriage and the relationship. Because look at Hollywood and New York, they put this portrayal. Everybody's sleeping with everybody except with their own wife or husband.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It seems like we want a light switch mentality. But it's just not there.
Yeah, we want all of this fun without any cost, but that's impossible. You will pay.
So tell me, years ago, you wouldn't hear a cuss word on TV. You wouldn't see any body parts on TV. And now it's just normal.
Ozzy and Harriet slept in separate beds.
Yeah. But now it's just normal.
Yeah.
I mean, even I find myself not reacting to things that I would have reacted to 5 years ago.
Sure.
What does that say about our culture, intimacy and promiscuity versus promiscuity?
I just think it's amazing that we have a culture that's dictating and creating our worldview, exactly as you just said, through their pulpit, the media center. And they don't know how to do marriage. They don't know how to do relationships. And yet we listen and watch them. And we mimic their broken relationships and distorted view of life. They don't know what they're doing in Hollywood. And yet there's this stupid pattern that we think we're supposed to follow.
Yeah, we're supposed to pay attention to that.
It just cheapens it. Everything gets cheapened,
you
know, and it's just not important. Just like marriage itself, the sanctity of marriage is irrelevant to many of them.
Let me jump into some specific questions. Since you guys are married, I'm a married guy. Hopefully, most of our listeners will end up in the married state. That, believe me, it's a good thing. What's the greatest challenge to intimacy in a marriage? I have my answer. Can I give it to you real quick?
Yeah.
Time. Time.
Time meaning what?
I'm busy.
Time.
You know, I'm busy.
That means what? Gone away from home?
Gone away from home. It's time. Do I have time to be intimate?
I would say
I think you can make time. It doesn't have to be the all-day deal. I was thinking in my head, the first thing is just good open communication. But I'm a woman, so you know, I'm sitting here with two men. But for a woman, it's like if things are clear and good there, then no problem. But if there's tension or strife, or if I'm stressed, then it's more difficult for me to relax.
There seems to be a biological factor. I mean, being blunt about it, there's almost a chemical factor for the man's pursuit. And I'm not saying he doesn't love his wife. I'm not saying that. But for the woman, it is that communication thing that Lisa's talking about, where our best times is when we've had a really good day of just talking. I don't mean, and when I say just talking, trust me. I don't want people out there to think that we sit underneath the tree with teacups and there's birds, you know.
That's only occasional.
Every other day.
What I'm talking about is just being cordial and kind, even in the midst of a busy day.
Right.
We're trying. Look, we've been married 35 plus years. We're still working on, make sure you give me a call today. That helps build the relationship.
Yeah.
I have to remember.
It never ends.
It never ends, and you always work at it. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we have to work at this by saying, hey, how you doing? What do you want to, you know, we're busy. Lisa's working. I'm working. Where do you want to eat tonight, or do you want to cook something at home? How's your day going? 30 seconds, maybe a couple, three, four times a day even. That connect prepares the whole environment, because for a woman, it tells her emotionally, mentally, that we are connected. Guys have a hard time. Look, she's been trying to teach me this for 35 years. Guys have a hard time thinking like that, and we need to break away from each of our positions and meet in the middle.
So tell me about... I'm going to ask you, Lisa, this specifically. When Jack is intimate, being intimate with you...
Watch it now, David.
No, I'm just... Fair enough. When Jack is intimate with you, it's much more than sex.
Right.
What does he do specifically that you would say, that's an intimate
Well, don't
person?
Mention the singing part and all of the...
Hey, I left a card last night with the... Oh... I looked at it this morning. I went, you are a sappy human being. So feel free.
Well, I think you two are alike in that way. That romantic kind of making those connections. So I think that is important. And I'm not exactly sure of the question, but I think you're saying, what kind of things does he do to lead up to that?
Oh, wait, I suppose I guess what I'm saying is the whole thing is intimacy. Do you know what
okay.
I mean? Is
that,
obviously, everything that a man does is to get to that one point of sex. Mm. Okay, fair enough. That's the way that we're wired. But what does the intimacy thing look like when it comes from Jack to you?
Yeah. I mean, I can answer it from my end because it's my motive, right?
Go ahead.
For me, it's I know that I need to verbalize what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So for
does that make sense?
True.
Yeah.
For me,
yes.
For example, and look, this is typical. Maybe people will get a lot out of this. I don't know. I hope so. But for me, when I tell her, you look beautiful today, I really mean it. The thought entered my mind. I say it. Now, for some reason, it's not just Lisa. I understand it's women who will say, oh, no, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. The thing is, the trust relationship is that I think she's attractive. I think she's been sweet to me today. This is nice. Let's be together tonight. That might mean popcorn in bed with TV or a funny show or something like that. We love to ride bikes at the beach, those kinds of things. That's very meaningful to me. Here's the thing. Men, I think we give ourselves, we're responsible for the bad rap because we don't often articulate what we're thinking. We keep it in. We should say it more.
Yeah.
Because the woman is going to receive that as, oh, here he goes again. But because we don't articulate that we've been thinking about her all day. We don't say that. We need to say that. We need to get into the habit of saying, I miss you today. I can't wait to see you later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we're back to the communication. I guess that's what I would say in communication. Maybe that word freaks people out because they think, are you going to sit down and have this big, long discussion about life or whatever?
Yeah.
Communication is simple. It's just having that daily interaction with each other, exactly what he's just saying, that if there's a sense of caring and respect for one another, good things come out of that. It just naturally happens. If there's tension or there's no speaking, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, the guy's coming at her, it might be a little pushback because there's no connection. So that's key.
Lisa, I think you read a book. I think it might have been by Kevin Lehman called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. Was that by him?
Yeah, that was a long
time. Regardless of who the author is, the book's a great book, and people might do good to get it. Sex Begins in the Kitchen. The whole point is it's all the intimacy should be a 24/7 situation, no matter what.
Right.
If you're paying bills or working in the yard or heading off to that business meeting, the whole atmosphere should be outside of this tremendous universe is this life I have at home. And you can stay connected. If you're on the other side of the globe, you can stay connected by text or by email or something.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
Speak to the husband who really doesn't understand that he and his wife are different. Speak to the guy that just flat doesn't get that. What does he need to do?
Look, Paul speaks to the Corinthians, who are a crazy, sexually driven culture. Paul says, you guys need to remember something here. You need to keep your marriage healthy and together and not abstain from having sexual relationships together except for fasting and prayer. And then come back together. Peter talks about that as well. Come back together so that you're not tempted. Why? Because the whole event is a spiritual event. I have to tell you, this is a bold confession, I must admit, on my part.
Go ahead.
And I'm hoping that men can relate to this as well. But for me, when Lisa and I are together and have been together, I feel tremendously more closer to her. I don't have the feeling. God gave us feelings, but I don't base my life on feelings. But I don't have the intensity of feelings for her prior to us being together. I have them afterward.
Interesting.
So, yeah, and I don't know, I'm going out on a limb here, you guys, help me out here. But is that how all men are? It's how I am, where if we've been together, I feel a bond. And I got to tell you, it's not uncommon for Lisa and I to have been with each other and for me to pray and thank God for what we just enjoyed.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe he's all over that.
So what would you say to the person or the couple, I should say, that it's become a chore? It's become something that's not enjoyable. It's become speak to a man, if you would, that's at the point in their marriage where, oh, this is such a job.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it getting there, but some folks say it has.
I would say Jesus said it regarding the church, is you've lost or you've left your first love. Mm. and you need to get back to that. Now, that's, of course, Jesus and the church, but let's apply that truth, it's eternal truth, to the husband and the wife. He needs to love her again.
Yeah.
And some man might say, well, I don't feel the feelings. Love has nothing to do with feelings. Love is a decision you make. Mm-hmm. You make the decision right now. You don't have to sit around and say, well, you know what, I'm going to really try to conjure up some love and see how I feel in the next 72 hours. No, you decide it now. I will love my wife. Then you obey that commitment that you made with the Lord to love her. Your relationship to Jesus will be reflected in how you treat your spouse. There's no way of getting around that.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think learning, I think we need to always be kind of just looking for new ideas. I think women are the ones who probably read most marriage books and romance, you know, how to be creative in your marriage and all that. But honestly, men need to be reading those too, but
yeah.
Men just won't take the time to do it. They won't.
Yeah.
They want it to be a certain way, but they're not willing to put in any effort to change a situation. And I think marriage is a continual learning curve. I mean, we just need to, can't just say, oh, I've been married, you know, 10, 20, 30 years and just, it should just go. Because I like to liken it to my walk with the Lord.
Mm.
If I just let it go and go on autopilot with me and the Lord, it is going to go stale real quick.
Yeah.
And so it is true with a marriage. It's no different. There has to be some effort, some time, some sacrifice into blessing one another. It's not easy to esteem others higher than yourself, but that is to be an aspect of the marriage as well. How can you remain good friends if you're not willing to put any effort into it?
Yeah.
So if it's getting boring or stale, it's time to, it's not time to look for a new spouse.
Right, right.
It is time to go.
A lot of people go there.
Yeah, absolutely. They start looking because they're dissatisfied instead of thinking, how do we, you know, let's go do this, let's try this, let's look for some ways that we can reignite something, you know, a little flame that's kind of starting to die out.
And I like what she just said a moment ago, the man needs to take or read the books, for example.
Yeah.
If you look at, first of all, the whole relationship that God desires with us, he was the initiator. If you read the Song of Solomon, Solomon's the initiator.
Yeah.
He's the one saying this, saying that.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable. And by the way, let me add that prior to them coming together as a husband and wife, she's the one that feels safe enough to want his presence. And he is the one to say, don't awaken love until it pleases. In other words, don't awaken love until it's sanctioned by God. I'll protect you. Don't worry. I won't take advantage of you. But we need to do this God's way. Solomon is both the protector of the relationship, which men need to, frankly, knock it off and start doing, and they're the initiator. They are the ones that should take that upper role of finding out how do you keep this marriage fresh. And it's not just, you know, let's have candles and lace. No, you know what? It's that thing we talked about earlier. It is taking a walk and riding the bikes and whatever.
And helping out, you know, some women, maybe their husbands don't do anything around the house. So they start helping out. And that sounds ridiculous. And there was a study done that, this seems weird to me because I really don't like sweat. But there was something they did in a chemistry level, I don't know, where they tested women and they gave them the smell of a man's sweat that it actually... She liked it.
Really?
Okay. So men working. So this guy was joking, saying, hey, you want your wife's attention? Pick up the vacuum. Start doing some work around the house because is it watching him, okay, working, but also the fact that he's willing to, quote, sacrifice and do something for her that maybe normally he's not willing to do. So it just was an interesting study that I read.
Now, see, that works in my house. To some degree, when I do the dishes, right? But then when the bottom line is, I'm not a good dish doer.
Yeah.
She's a much better dish doer than I am.
Yeah.
When I wash a dish, it has to be rewashed. But the fact, it has to be rewashed by you know who. But the fact that I did the dish?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know what, in our day and age when, you know, texting equals sexting, and the internet can be a very bad thing in a marriage, The internet, take it from me, can be a wonderful thing in a marriage. I found a website the other day of 1,000 things you can do for your wife. Mm. I didn't think there were 1,000 things I could do for my wife.
Wow. Yeah.
But honestly, I mean, in this day, when you say, hey, guys, you need to read the books, yeah. I'm not going to sit down and read a whole book.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
But I'm going to read a sentence
right.
or two.
That's right.
And it's been working for
That's
me.
Right. That's right.
It's been working
right.
for me.
You know, we make it so difficult. It's That's much right. more simple if we just, if we just calm down and just do the simple things, you know?
How about ask each other? What would you like to do? Or what could I do for you?
Yeah.
What would bless you, sweetie, today? Forget the intimacy part. Just start there.
You know
if that's kind of struggling in that area, then start with good communication about what can I do? What would you like to do? Today, you know, Saturday we have the day off. What do you want to do? You know, little things like that. It doesn't have to be this big,
that's good.
Crazy thing that we make it sometimes.
Imagine if a husband were to say to his wife, hey, tomorrow's Saturday. I'm saying this specifically. He's obviously saying it on a Friday.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Saturday. And when we get up, let's do whatever you want to do tomorrow. Whatever it is.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
It can go either way.
Think about that. It's in her mind. That's exciting to her. By the way, listen, it took 20 seconds to say it, but it's bouncing around her head constantly. She goes to sleep. She wakes up in the morning thinking, oh yeah, we're going to do, what are we going to do? Think of that. Just 30 seconds of words, hours of communication process in the mind of that wife.
Yeah.
And now it's the crock pot thing. It's boiling over.
Yeah.
It's thinking. And it's, you know, this is what I want to do. And you can't roll your eyes at that as the husband. You can't, oh, brother. Let's do it. Like, you know what? I'll confess. This is funny. She loves antiquing. We may not buy a thing, but she loves to go down, like, for example, the Orange Circle here in Orange County, and go look at that stuff. And I used to not like it. It's a funny thing. Now I like it.
He's liking it more than me. No, I'm kidding.
But it's something where, you know what? I think it's the Lord honoring. Die to yourself and think more highly of the other. Mm-hmm. And he winds up blessing you for doing it.
And that's good stuff. And that goes back to the beginning of the program when I had those lyrics from that Noel Paul Stupi song, the two shall be as one.
Yeah.
Talk to the folks as we close out the program about two folks becoming one folk in the Lord.
That's right. There's a lot of people today that are, they're married, you're married perhaps, and it's that constant tension. You wake up and you're at war, and you're at war during the day and you're at war at night. And you think it's over. Well, number one, remember this, love's a choice, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's not a chemical. Love is an actual decision. And what you do is you decide to obey God and love one another. It comes down to that. And you just do that. You start doing that today by your own will. Lisa and I may not feel like we're in love with one another at any given time of the day, but we choose love. Keep that in mind because Jesus, God exercises not emotion, but the choice of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. So you think about that, and we'd love to hear from you right here at Real Life. And so it's our hope that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Intimacy in Marriage. Thanks for listening to today's segment, Love is Not a Feeling, But a Choice. And our hope is that God's sacrificial love for us causes you to consider God's definition of marriage. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how his plan works. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that you can get the entire DVD set of the Real Marriage series in live interviews for a gift of any amount to this ministry? That's right, a gift of any amount to Real Radio. The Real Marriage DVD set is a collection of discussion-based programs to help provide a solid foundation for a healthy, God-honoring marriage. Pastor Jack and his wife Lisa bring to the table over 35 years of marriage. Topics in this series include the biblical foundation for marriage, communicating in your marriage, dealing with our families in marriage. That and many more topics covered in this series called Real Marriage. And you can get your DVD set for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Get yours today by getting a hold of us through our website. Here's the web address, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.